Now, nice to see you again, and I trust as we gather around the Lord's Word, we'll be blessed this evening. Turn with me, please, to 2 Timothy in chapter 3. 2 Timothy and chapter 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen. And God will bless to us this reading from his divine truth. Shall we ask the Lord to help us now as we gather round his word? Our dear Father in heaven, we're just so glad to be together again in this house and amongst your people and with one another. Lord, we thank you for David's ministry and song and what has happened as we have sung the hymns of Zion together. Now, as we come to your word, I need your help. Lord, that's not a false statement. That's an honest thought, an honest reality. I need that enabling, which you alone can give. I need the help of your Spirit, the inspiration of your Spirit, the power of your Spirit, without which I am helpless and hopeless. So draw near to us now, Lord, in our need. Prepare each one of our hearts. Make us responsive to yourself and get glory for your great and mighty name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Tonight our subject is Perilous Times Are Coming. Jacob Prash, who I would estimate as one of the outstanding Bible teachers in the world today, some time ago made this statement and I wrote it down. He said, "We have now entered the most perilous times in the history of mankind, and indeed that the church has ever known." That is an awesome statement. Dr. Chuck Meisler, another very well-known Bible teacher and prophetic scholar, has said, "We have now been plunged into a period of time in which the Bible has more to say about than any other period of time." That also is a very, very serious statement indeed. Now, when two outstanding men of God make statements like this, surely you and I should sit up and listen. And there's absolutely no question that these men know what they're talking about. We have just read from the Scriptures of Truth that's on a similar vein, very similar vein, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Now, we have a teacher with us. Maybe we have more than one. And they will be able to tell us what the word perilous means. Means full of danger or immediate danger. And I believe in this old world today, we're in immediate danger of certain things. Now, I'm not going to put things in a list of priority. I have a number of things I want to say. They're not listed in priority. They're just things that I want to mention. Important thing. Number one, the danger of the worldwide buildup of weapons of mass destruction. You and I are living in a world today bristling with weapons of mass destruction. Man now has arrived at a place in human history where he is capable of destroying all life upon this earth and destroying also the landmass of earth, so that mankind would not be able to live upon this earth again. Will God allow that to happen? I don't believe so. But I do believe that the Bible makes it clear that in the end times there will be nuclear warfare. We read in the Scriptures of the eyes falling out of the sockets of people, which happens, that kind of thing happens with nuclear explosion, atomic explosion. I haven't time to go into all this, but I just mention that. Now, take, for example, British Trident. It has a range of 7,500 miles, accurate to a few feet. Each warhead has 8 times more destructive power than the Hiroshima bomb. You think on that. They have 4 submarines, each carrying 16. Warheads. Wow. What destructive power. And they have 70 more in storage that they can use. Now listen to this. Russia in 1961 tested the Tsar bomb. 1,570 times more powerful than that dropped upon Nagasaki. 1,570 times more powerful. Back in 1961, what destructive power have they accumulated since? There are at least 20,000 nuclear warheads in the world today. What about America? What about the Middle East? What about the firepower that we don't know anything about, that has never been disclosed? Rogue nations like Iran, that is hell-bent on getting nuclear weapons. What about the E-bomb? The E-bomb that they have now available that if they took an E-bomb and exploded it over the UK, it will knock out all the electrical systems in the nation, put us into total darkness. There's not a car will start, there's not a vehicle will go, there'll not be a mobile phone, there won't be a TV, our means of communication cut out in darkness. They have the ability and the power to do it now. In addition to that, they would have the ability to use bombs carrying awful diseases, anthrax, etc. The ability that man has acquired today to destroy life and to destroy this world to you and I is almost unbelievable. But it's out there. And I'm trying to say to you that we are living in times of awesome, awesome danger. Awesome danger. Someone said one time that they were afraid that some madman would press the wrong button. Now, I don't go down that road. I don't believe that. I believe in a sovereign God in heaven who controls this world. You and I may not believe that God is controlling this world, but God allows things to go as far as he wants to. And then he will call a halt because he's in control. He's the sovereign God of heaven, and he's in control. Number two, I want to mention this. I've never mentioned this before in meetings, but I want to mention the danger of political correctness. Political correctness. Are you aware today that our thinking as a people has totally changed? I often say that people's attitudes today are all wrong. When Dorothy and I lived in Plumbridge, we had a neighbor. He was a godless man. David talked about his father being a drinker. The man drank everything that he could. And then he came to us when he ran out of money. He came in the evenings, every evening of the week, so that he would get a bite to eat. Listen to this man's attitude. His attitude was, I won't, but you must. You ever get an attitude like that? There's a lot of that developing in the world of today. Because our attitudes are all wrong. Now, the definition of political correctness, demonstrating progressive ideas by avoiding vocabulary that is considered offensive or judgmental, especially considering race or gender. I was on about gender the other evening, but race. Now, I will go along with this so far. I think it was very offensive when white people called a black man or a colored man when they called him a nigger. That was offensive. I would agree that that was not right. Was not right. I remember years ago when our children were small, Dorothy and I, we always, over the years, went with our family. We still go for on holiday. I always love to get a wee holiday. And we went, I remember, one year to Blackpool. And we were getting on over 40 years ago. We were getting on, it was either a tram or a bus or a coach. I think it was a bus. In those days, you got on the bus at the back of the bus. The door was at the back of the bus. You paid the conductor. You didn't have a driver. You didn't enter at the front, so you paid the driver. You entered at the back of the bus. And I was carrying my wee daughter, Lorraine, in my arms, a wee two-year-old girl. And I remember the conductor saying to me, "Move on up there, Paddy." And I resented it. I don't mind telling you I resented it. Now, if that was today, I could take a court case against him because he had insulted me. He had called me a paddy. And if that happened today, I could go to my solicitor and said, this man insulted me, he offended me, he so upset me, I can't sleep, I'm in a turmoil, he's destroyed my life, and I'll go to court, I'll be awarded X thousands of pounds. Political correctness. Stella Morabito was an intelligent analyst, and she came to some conclusions about political correctness. And here's how she summed it up. Political propaganda aims to mobilize the masses to move an agenda forward. That is most effectively done when the masses are unaware of the process, when they don't really know what's taking place. Once the masses are mobilized to push for a cause, the protagonist's goals can be put into law. Now that's what happened with same-sex marriage. Think what happened in the Irish Republic that shocked us all. Try to speak against it and you know what will happen. Political correctness. Dear James McConnell spoke out against Islam in his pulpit and he's been dragged back into court like a common criminal. Young MacArthur family, Patrick MacArthur, I maybe forgotten his first name, is dragged into court because of political correctness, because he would not go down the road of putting a slogan on a cake. Dragged into court as if he were a criminal and fined. I tell you, that is political correctness. Now, the next big thing is to win the support of the masses for transgenderism. That's what they're battling for now. God help us. You saw the spectacle some time ago of a well-known man who was a boxing promoter who has got the operation and he claims now that he's a lady. He has been turned from a man into a woman. And he was on a certain TV program been lauded for his courage and the wonderful thing that he had done. He had been a woman trapped in a man's body. Did you ever hear such nonsense? Because I have news for him. Go back to his DNA and he's still a male. That's what they're fighting for now. And as sure as you are sitting there, They will achieve that and you and I will not be able to say boo about it. And the next thing after that they have on the agenda, just reading about it, they are using the same propaganda techniques wrapped up in the language of civil rights, of course, civil rights, and getting the masses on board, with the idea of removing or erasing all sex distinctions in law. Mark that. There is one more on the horizon. after that, a singles right movement that promises to end the legal recognition of all marriage. And they'll push it, and they'll push it, and they'll push it until they get it. That is political correctness on the march. And we have it on every hand today. Another danger, can I speak to you about, because it's a serious one too, that will affect a lot of people. The danger of worldwide financial collapse. Did you know that this world in which you and I live, the nations in this world today, are all financially bankrupt? And this world exists and works on borrowed money. Borrowed money. Now, you will agree with me that there was a time that the UK, I may not be phrasing this just exactly right, but the pound sterling was guaranteed by our gold reserves. There was a proper term on that. But the pound sterling today is not guaranteed by our gold reserves because we haven't got very many. The world today has run up so much debt that it cannot be repaid. We hear David Cameron talking much about reducing the deficit. What he did not tell you that in the last 5 years when he was in power with the Liberals. Now he inherited from Labour a debt of $700 billion. And in 5 years, David Cameron added to that $700 billion, he added over $500 billion. Let me tell you what's been happening in Britain over the years. In 1910, their debt was $15 billion. 1920, it had climbed to $20 billion. 1940, 1950, it rose to $40 billion. 1970, 1980, to $100 billion. 1980 to 1990, $180 billion. 1990 to 2000 to $500 billion. We keep climbing. 2010, they ended up with $650 billion, and at the end of 2010, $700 billion when the Conservatives came to power. And David Cameron added $500 billion to that, over $500 billion. Today, British debt stands at £1.3 trillion. And it can't be repaid. The interest on it and interest rates are so low, I haven't the figure with me, but it's something astronomical. What happens if interest rates start to rise? I remember back in 1982 or 83, interest rates in this country hit 18% and 20%. And people who had money in the bank were making a literal fortune. They lived on their investments and had money to throw around. That's where Britain is today. Now we go to America. Did you know that American debt today is $18 trillion? Can never, ever be repaid. It is such a colossal debt. I'm not going to win the Chinese debt and all the other debts that are in the world. The world is sinking under a mass of debt. The McKinsey Global Institute says 7 years after the bursting of the credit bubble, since the Great Depression, the financial crisis since the Great Depression, debt continues to grow. Global debt in 2007 stood at $142 trillion. Today it's $199 trillion. $28,000 for every man, woman, and child on this earth. Our world is bankrupt. And they keep on adding to it, and one day the bubble's going to burst. Do you know what their attitude about it is? The financial leaders. This is how they termed it. They are kicking the can down the road as long as they can until the bubble bursts. Now, when it bursts this time, there's something very serious happening. You can read about it. Maybe it's in some of those Prophetic Witness magazine. I've read it there. I've read it elsewhere. Now, what is going to happen, the EU at this moment is pushing through legislation to compel member states to enact what they call bail-in legislation. That's happening inside the next months. What this means is what happened in Cyprus in 2013. Instead of the government bailing out the banks raided their customers' accounts to pay off their debt, and that's how they survived. And they're passing that legislation in the EU today that when the crash comes, they'll raid their customers' bank. That's a diabolical situation. And that spells awful, awful danger for people. Imagine people who are very well off and the bank raids their account and takes the most of their money. That is what they are planning. You can find out about it, you can trace it, you can look it up, you can find out more about it. Money will never be safe in banks again, and where will it be safe? In financial institutions, they have shown themselves to be ruthless, and they have shown themselves to be legalized gangsters, just as bad as that. But we'll leave it there. I think we've said enough about that. Now, our time is galloping on, and I want to, there's quite a number of things I was going to mention. I'm going to cut some of them out. I was going to refer to the migrant situation. I'll be speaking on that tomorrow night. I'll not mention it at this juncture. I was going to dwell a little bit upon the danger of the attack upon the person of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. That is very evident. I'm only just going to mention this. It seems to me that Western leaders today are dismantling, that's the word I'm going to use, are dismantling what men and women of God have put in place since the evangelical awakening in the 18th century. Think of the godly people, Think of godly men and women that work for God, the institutions that created the wonderful work for God that they did. Because they were Christians, they loved the Lord, they were born again people, and they put their hand to the gospel plow. And they created institutions and the wonderful things that we have had in our nation and in our world. Systematically, Western leadership today is dismantling all those wonderful institutions, making it difficult for them to exist, putting in these new ideas and new found laws that are contradictory to the Word of God and making it impossible for Christian people to live according to the dictates of their conscience and perform what they were doing, the work that they were doing. Because we are governed, you see, what is happening, we are governed by secular humanists. They don't want God. They don't want Jesus Christ. Away, away with Him. We don't want the Word of God. We have torn it apart. And these are bleak days when it comes to the spiritual realm. I believe with all my heart that the Church of Jesus Christ today is sleepwalking into disaster. Where are praying people? Where are godly people today? I'm going to funeral after funeral where godly people are being laid to rest, people who love the Lord, who contributed to the work of God. And I ask myself the question, where are those today who are going to rise up and serve God? We are sleepwalking to disaster. And organizations that God blessed and used, and they won countless souls for Jesus Christ, today are fruitless. And their hands are tied. And the people of God are sitting watching filth in their homes instead of being out supporting the work of God and out at the prayer meeting and out putting their back to the work of God in our nation today. Can I say another thing that alarms me today? Is something that is really starting to take off. I'm referring to the alarming developments of artificial intelligence. Now, you might think that's not very harmful. Not very harmful. The advances in artificial intelligence are mind-boggling. Now, I have some grandchildren that I love very dearly. I have a little granddaughter, 11, our oldest granddaughter is 11. Like all other children, she's into technology somewhat. She has her tablet and she has her mobile phone and she has her works on the home computer and that sort of thing. Loves that, interested. Very, all children are like that today, aren't they? There, I have another little monkey of a grandchild, 5 years of old, and it can play a thing, a game thing that I couldn't play. Wee fingers flying, not a bit of bother. Children today seem to be adapted to that. You'll agree with me. Have grandchildren, or you see children, they're all into that. Well, Bella, there was something in Londonderry some time back, a technology event, and the BBC had a stand there, and they had a robot on the stand. And our little granddaughter was very interested in that, and she stood and looked at that and watched this robot. And the man who programmed the robot or was in charge of the robot, he came over and he said to the old robot, "This is Princess." And the robot said, "Hello, Princess." And then it said, she had a little bag with an owl on it. "I see you have an owl bag." Now you think about that. And then there came up another wee girl, and she came up beside Bella, and she had something like something to do with a sheep or like a sheep or something on wearing it. And the robot said to her, "Are you a sheep?" She was a wee bit indignant about that. She didn't know him not. "Well, it says you're like a sheep." And listen to this. Then it says, "We have an owl and a sheep. Is this a zoo that we're in?" Now you think about that. That's a simple explanation of artificial intelligence. Now, there was a big conference in California. I'm sorry I didn't write the man's name down. I took note of it. I came across it, and I took note of it. He was the CEO of a big technology company, and he was speaking at this gathering, this convention. And he made a statement. And I tell you, it's rather serious what he said. He said, "We're not far away from the moment when artificial intelligence will be more dangerous than the nuclear bomb." I tell you, my friends, and time has run out on us, we are living in perilous times. Now, if I had time, I could go into some of the developments that's happening in medical science. We have now come to the stage where they are mixing human DNA and animal DNA. And these creatures are being produced in our labs. There were 150 of them in Europe last year. There's no law against it. And scientists are playing God. Now we're meddling. We have three parents involved in the producing of a child. Where are we going? The Americans have set aside vast sum of money to put an implant into the human brain. That they're doing it at this moment. They're starting it with the American soldiers. They intend to make the American soldier an absolutely fearless fighting machine. And on it goes. I say to you this evening that we are in perilous times. And the last danger I just want to mention in closing is the alarming drift from biblical teaching and the acceptance of a social gospel. People today have itching ears. They don't want to hear the truth. Preach anything other than the gospel. Don't preach the gospel. We don't want to hear that. We're self-sufficient. We don't need God. Man has arrived. We're in perilous times. How long will God allow the things that are happening in this world to continue? Bible talks about periods when God winked at the wickedness. But now, commandeth all men everywhere to repent. My friends, if we don't see a return to God, I don't know what's going to happen if I don't see a return to God. There's only one hope now for this old world as we sink deeper into the mire. That is the return of Jesus Christ. The glorious return of Jesus Christ. I'm glad I'm the age I am. I've heard people say, I want to go back and live my life over again. No, 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 no. I'm glad I'm the age I am. I don't want a second transit life. I mightn't do as well the second time round. In the world of today, I most definitely wouldn't. But are you ready to meet the Lord? If he comes suddenly, he's coming in the twinkling of an eye. No time to repent. No time to put the wrongs right. No time to pray for mercy. It'll happen so quickly. You and I need to be ready for such an awesome event. Amen.